Taiwan Special, Episode 1. Merry Christmas as of tomorrow. Yup. No, I'm going to go into police tomorrow. I think we've had Cop Tuesday, I think, is something that's been going on. I record these in advance. So I'm actually recording this on a Monday. But see, because I put stuff down, I lay it down and record it in advance, I'm able to provide entertainment through the holidays. So I, Taiwan. There was an article in the Taipei Times, December 17, 2019, and it pretty much says that Taiwan only cares about rich people and celebrities. And it doesn't quite seem that way. No, I'm sorry. This was the headline. It was the top of the Pacific Daily. No, not Pacific. Oh, no, Pacific Daily Times is mine. My Pacific Daily Times would never. No. Taipei Times. Excuse me. I get my times wrong. Taipei Times. The top headline. December 17, 2019. And in that story, they talk about how Taiwan's president is inviting famous celebrities to stay at the presidential palace as a means of trying to get popularity. It's like a marketing campaign. Well, all right. How about honoring Joe the plumber? How about honoring ordinary people who've done great things? See, Taiwan's government doesn't think about that, and they don't understand how doing this is going to irritate people from real democracies. Taiwan has a pseudo-democracy because the people don't expect their government to obey them. They get mad and they yell, but they don't actually go out in force and expect, that's in force, they don't go out in force and expect their government to obey them. They've been beaten down by Chiang Kai-shek. So it's really, really sad. I think, see, Taiwan thinks that this is a good thing. I mean, you ordinary Americans should love us because we only care about rich, famous people. You know, they don't know how that's going to come across. And a lot of it is very similar to how China thinks. China doesn't know how they come across to other people. So I'm kind of thinking about going to Taipei and knocking on a few doors. I know some key important doors to knock on. And I might share some thoughts with them. See, I mean, just this morning, I was in immigration talking with, the very, very nice, very helpful lady at the immigration desk. And I'm applying for something or whatever. And they sent my application back to me telling me that I didn't use the correct form. Well, I couldn't find the quote unquote correct form on the website. So, one of the things I told the immigration officer I was speaking with was, where's the form number? What's the number of the form they want? Every government application form, tax form, every form should have a number so that you refer to the number. I said, your application form here at immigration has a number, right? And I pull it out and there's no number on it. I mean, it's got a name. It's the such and such form. Well, whatever the heck is that? How do you know which one it is? You go to a website, you're not sure which form it is because it doesn't have a number. I mean, do you put a name on a car? No. It has a serial number embedded into the body or the frame or something. And then it's got a license plate number. It needs a number so that you know which specific form we're talking about. Government papers should have numbers on them. And that the office I was applying to didn't have one. Immigration didn't have it on theirs. And so I looked at the immigration officer and she kind of goes, oh, yeah, maybe that's not good. She goes, I'll tell the boss. I'll tell the boss we should put numbers on our forms. Ugh, head desk. I've been here 11 years. And I've seen them improving and they're trying to reach out to other countries, but I was talking with my mother this week about, about the reality of how no one ever grows up, how all men are really man-childs, man-children. Every man is a man-child, and every woman is a woman-child. We don't really grow up. We just get old. And I was talking with my mother about this, and I said, when did you realize that? And she said, I just always knew it. And I think that's because my mother is kind of one of those laid back, dry humor, kind of lazy, kind of, you know, one liner silences, you know, people type, you know, and the kind of, you know, don't want to work too much, work really efficiently, just say it in one liner and silence the whole room. One line and everybody's rolling on the floor laughing. Just those type of people are typically in touch with the fact that nobody ever grows up because other people's mistakes cause them to have to work a whole lot. And so when you're one of those people who's naturally gifted with the one-liners to make people laugh or to just nail somebody for how, you know, ridiculous they are in a nice, calm, gentle, but effective way. When you're good with the when you're gifted with one-liners, the whole world is a target-rich environment because everybody does things that are so immature that we just invite one of those one-liner punchlines of a joke that we are the butts of. So I'm a hard worker and I get stuff done and I want to change everything and fix everything and I don't accept problems. And I look at all the troubles in the world and I'm too busy trying to figure out a way to be the solution, right? Well, it never occurs to me to maybe consider that nobody ever grows up. So, you know, one of the big things in international diplomacy is knowing how to talk to a child who leads a military that can kill a bunch of your people. And that's really how you kind of have to talk to everybody because we all have our moments of immaturity. And like you got to be a grandma or grandpa. Like you got to talk effectively with strength, but gently to people, knowing that everyone's got to learn and you can't be angry about it. And it's, I know that kind of sounds mildly insulting to say that when you talk to people, international diplomacy, it requires looking at people as children. I know that that's mildly insulting, but it's more insulting for Taiwan's government to tell me that I have the wrong application form when they don't put numbers on any of their application forms. So it's like, again, it goes back to how are we seen by other people in what we say and do? And, Taiwan is small and adorable and open, and they've got a democracy on paper, and they've got a group of young people that are incredibly aware of how their government works. Oh my goodness. I was talking with Royu about government the other day. I said, "Do you know how government works?" He goes, "Yeah, I know all about how that works." And he's only 15 years old. He knows how America's government legislation. I explained America's legislative and impeachment process. And he's like, "Okay, all right. I get it." Like he gets it. Boom. Because young people in Taiwan are very politically minded. They were so ever since 2014 with the Sunflower Movement. And of course, even before that, they were somewhat much more politically minded than Americans are. Older Taiwanese kind of have that, you know, we can't change the government because the government is big. And they don't really get the concept of democracy. They're still oppressed. They're beaten down. They're like the slaves of Israel leaving Egypt. They didn't know how to walk into the promised land and take what was theirs. They only knew how to be fed. They didn't know how to grow their own food. They only knew how to be told what to do and take the food that was given to them. And so that's why they had to wander around the desert for 40 years until they were all dead. And at least everyone 20 and older was dead. And all those 20 and younger were grown up and adults. So we're talking adults and their 20-year-old kids 40 years later. That were finally ready to go into the land, and then they were actually ready to lead stuff. So, you know, most of the old fogies that knew Egypt, well, all of them were gone by the time they went into the land. Because, I mean, as the Khaleesi said, Game of Thrones, slaves love their chains. And too many Taiwanese are stuck in that to see their democracy. And so in that, as adorable as Taiwan is, there's a lot of ways in which Taiwan's thinking is a lot like China's thinking. And America is hailing Taiwan as the saint and China as the villain for political purposes. And we're not helping Taiwan mature and do things that are actually going to improve their standing in the rest of the world. So I see a lot of, we're operating by playbooks and not a lot of genuinely helping people. Taiwan's got potential. They've got the ability to become great and awesome and excellent, but they're not going to get there without their friends who've been there a lot longer than they have helping them out. And basically, I mean, like you would do, you would not allow your friend to walk in your house and poop on your living room floor. You'd say, knock it off. Don't do that. And maybe you'd finally figure out your friend's mental if your friend tries to do that. And you'd say, okay, all right, you can't do that. It doesn't work that way. But you wouldn't let your friend poop on your living room floor. If Taiwan poops on America's living room floor when foreigners go to Taiwan and they get treated like this. And America's government doesn't seem that interested in telling them to knock it off. Instead, they seem interested in the photo ops. So I just, you know, friends don't let friends live drunk on power. Merry Christmas. There will be a podcast tomorrow and Thursday. See you then.